Hi, this is Meg Malone, the Vermont Edition digital producer, and you're listening to the Vermont Edition podcast. This episode has been edited for clarity and brevity. Happy listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Yesterday, Governor Phil Scott stood before a joint session of the Vermont legislature and delivered his second annual budget address.
Too many hardworking Vermonters face the same problem the state budget faces. Expenses and costs growing faster than income. I don't believe any of these costs should be growing faster than wages, especially the costs we in this chamber can influence. That's why this budget prioritizes investments that will get more Vermonters into the workforce, recruit families to our state, create jobs, expand small businesses, and grow wages.
Well, for the next 40 minutes or so, the governor went on to outline those priorities, saving his thoughts on school and ed funding restructuring for the end. There is a lot to chew over, so we have invited two state officials who can help answer any questions you might have about what the Scott administration's priorities are in this budget and to explain some of the initiatives he's proposed. Suzanne Young is administration secretary. Adam Greshen is Vermont's commissioner of finance and management. They are both joining us from our Montpelier studio today. Welcome to the program. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for inviting us.
There's, as I said, a lot to go over and a lot of numbers and a lot of details, and we'll try to do both sort of big picture and small picture in this, and certainly won't get to all of it, but hey, that's what the whole session is for. So the governor wants to do those things that we heard him talking about without raising taxes or fees and with a 2.33% increase in the general fund budget, which is lower than the typical annual increases of about 5%. How hard was it actually to come up with a budget that meets the priorities of the administration but does that without a significant increase in the general fund budget and without raising taxes or fees?
Well, I'll take the first stab at the broader answer to that question, Jane, if I could.
Yeah.
The governor's key strategic goals, and they've been pretty clear from day one, is to grow the economy, make Vermont more affordable, and protect the most vulnerable. And with that, he has directed all of his agency secretaries and cabinet to make every decision every day to try to align to one of those three goals. When it comes down to building a budget that seeks to achieve those goals, we decided to apply a growth rate calculation to this year's expenditures. And the growth rate calculation came out to be 2.33%, which basically reflects a six-year smoothing of the average growth in Vermonters' wages. And the governor's view is that we should not spend more than Vermonters can afford. So we applied this growth rate calculation to the budget building process. And we have a great team. Commissioner Greshen and his team worked very, very hard and diligently with every single department and agency to view what they were doing within their budgets and how these achieve the governor's goals. And I can turn it over to Commissioner Greshen to talk about the hard work that went into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that every governor wants to do, right? No governor sets out to say, I really want to stick it to people with higher taxes. So, I mean, clearly it's that tension always between wanting to serve Vermont and wanting to do all of the priorities and initiatives that Vermonters want while also keeping costs down, Commissioner.
Sure. And you know, I would also point out that government, as we see it, and Vermont government, is pretty much set up to grow with – if there were no commissioner of finance and management, if there were no management, what you'd see is government would grow between 4% and 5% each year. And that's from simple embedded salaries, from costs of various services that we purchase. So just the embedded growth is 4% to 5%. So with that construct, you have to manage where you prioritize, where you direct resources and the like. And it is hard work.
Go ahead, Secretary Young.
Well, I might add that with that 2.33% growth calculation, the budget did grow indeed by $82 million without adding any taxes and fees. So, you know, there is some organic growth that occurs, and it was pretty interesting to us that we could restrain our spending within what Vermonters could afford, and we still had some money. You know, I've seen a headline, he spends $82 more million, and I think it should be clarified that 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 came without raising taxes and fees and applying this growth rate calculation.
So you kind of want an only stuck there in the headline, only $82 million.
Well, I didn't mean to imply it's only 82, but the fact remains that we did not decrease spending. Spending has increased under this construct. So it's not a budget that cut. It is a budget that is spending extra money and putting some money into the governor's priorities and elsewhere.
Well, let's talk about some of those areas where the governor does have proposals for spending more money for adding to the economy. He'd like to add $1.5 million for temporary forensic mental health operating costs. And we talked about this with AHS Secretary Al Gobay a couple of days ago, and this idea of making sure that our facilities are working for Vermonters, that we're reducing the load on emergency rooms for people who are experiencing mental health issues but cannot find a facility with a bed for them. An additional $640,000 for National Guard scholarships on top of what's already offered, $600,000 on cybersecurity, $500,000 for the Department for Children and Family for child protection. So all of these are additional funds or redirecting funds that he'd like to see. Primarily, though, the governor talked a lot about trying to increase the workforce and increase the inflow of people to Vermont and decrease the out-migration to places like Florida. You know, it was interesting to hear him talk about all of this and to talk about that priority and where he'd like to spend some money. I want to play a little bit from his speech now. And this is his plan to bring Vermonters in, keep Vermonters here. He's calling it Think Vermont Move, and it's going to be a big advertising campaign.
We face population trends that, left unaddressed, will continue to result in fewer workers, fewer taxpayers, and fewer students in our schools. That's why I propose a $3.2 million investment in a campaign to reverse these trends, so we can set Vermont apart as a state that's serious about identifying, connecting with, and persuading more people to become Vermonters. We recognize that traditional marketing isn't enough. Past efforts have relied on traditional marketing strategies, which cast a wide net, hoping as many people as possible will see the content. These efforts aren't working in today's competitive world. In 2018, the technology exists to identify people who want to hear our story. Companies use these strategies around the globe because the technology exists to better identify potential customers and deliver them the right message on the right platform at the right time.
So, Secretary Young, what exactly is it that we're spending these $3 million on to attract new workers and keep people in Vermont?
Well, this concept, Jane, is one that we're calling Think Vermont Move, and it's a recruitment approach to attracting would be or could be Vermonters to live and work and relocate in Vermont. The core concept is we advertise our attributes. We are the safest and we're the healthiest state in the nation. And we have jobs here, and we do not have the workforce that we need to fill those jobs. We have an aging demographic. We are the second oldest population in the country, and we have nearly 30,000 fewer people between the ages of 25 and 45, which be, you know, your typical working age individuals and families that we would love to attract to Vermont. And that is part of the governor's affordability agenda, is to make Vermont more affordable for folks to move here and live here, as well as to keep folks here. So the core concept here is to actually modernize our recruitment efforts and use the tools and the technology and the focus that is currently out there being used in businesses and in some political campaigns, finding those folks who come to Vermont, for instance, to ski, to recreate, who have family here, who have may have been to a Vermont college or high school, and try to focus on that particular market and make it easier for them to make a decision to move Vermont. So what it would do, it's not, all advertising. It really is focusing, if you want to come back to Vermont, we're here to help you come back. We're here to provide one-stop shopping through our labor department, through our commerce department, to tell you how to go about getting some help, you know, finding an affordable home, where the jobs are, where to live and relocate that meets your needs. So it is really a comprehensive approach to meet the needs of individuals who may want to relocate or come back to Vermont. And frankly, we've heard anecdotally, and you know, you don't make decisions based on anecdotes, but many people do come back, and they come and they ski and they visit their friends, but the numbers are just not working for them to come back and live. So we're trying to make it workable for the families and the young working group that, you know, we'd love to get back here in Vermont and filling our jobs and growing our economy with us.
Do you have a sense of when you'd see a return on that investment? Because, you know, $3 million out, the idea is that people are coming back, they're living here, they're working here, that the economy is growing, that, you know, people are owning homes and putting money into the economy. But when would you see a return from that $3 million?
Well, I don't have the absolute detail on when we would start to see a return, but we do feel a real sense of urgency. And that is one of the reasons why when we found that there was some extra revenue or money in the FY18 budget as a result of some expenses that we didn't have to pay, we asked the House and Senate Appropriations Committees to consider committing that money in the budget adjustment, which is the mid-year budget adjustment, so that we could get out as soon as possible and catch the next season, so to speak, in the spring. So, you know, we sooner we get out there with this, I think the sooner we'll see the returns. And I can't predict as to when those would be.
Let's go to Bob, who's calling in from Rutland. Hi, Bob. Go right ahead.
Hello. How are you?
Great.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to address the comments that are being made regarding trying to drive people or bring people into Vermont, you know, new workers, you know, to build industry. I'm a business owner who has two young children in school. I'm a positive influence on the tax rolls that has to move out of Vermont because I can't get quality internet service in Windsor, in the Windsor area.
Hmm. So you'd like to see more investment in that, Bob?
What I'm saying is when you drive people to Vermont to try and move here, they look at an area, they look at a house, and one of the first questions they ask is, what kind of internet service do I get here? And when the answer is minimal to none, you might as well tell them that they can't get electricity. It's just, it's not a good fit to drive people to an area for work, for economics.
Bob, are you leaving? Did you say you're going to leave the state of Vermont?
I'm forced to leave because I can't grow my business any further unless I personally contribute an ungodly amount of money to bring cable to my house, internet service. And I'm not willing to do that.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing your perspective. And I'd like to add in here a note that we got from Elizabeth, who says, the governor wants to bring younger families and job seekers to Vermont, but I can pretty well guarantee that new residents will want cell service and high-speed internet at their homes. If smaller towns outside Chittenden County are going to thrive, the residents of those towns need a 21st-century communications infrastructure where they live and work. Businesses need this, and our schools do too. Vermont's been kicking this can down the road for decades. So Commissioner Gresham and Secretary Young, you know, both Elizabeth and Bob saying, great, workers coming in, but if we don't have a technological infrastructure for them, it's just not going to work. They're not going to come here. So how do you respond?
Well, that is clearly a challenge that Vermont has been working to achieve broadband in the last mile, and it's been, you know, a couple of decades challenge. We have topography and geography that is not as conducive to building out that last mile of broadband and internet. And so we do appreciate those concerns and those issues. And our Department of Public Service is, you know, continuing the drive to improve our internet and our cell service. And also, there are some new technologies out there that I understand may be coming, you know, into Vermont soon that would help with this issue that's not necessarily laying cable. The Secretary of Commerce is very aware of the challenge, and we are working to find alternative technologies that may help us crack this nut. I also would say that there seems to be much more interest in living and working in downtown areas. And for those who are looking for that more downtown, less rural locations, I think, you know, that's less of a challenge for those who are not interested in living out where the internet and the phone service is weaker than we would like it to be. But we certainly understand that that is one of the issues and one of the barriers to growing our economy and must be addressed. But we can't overpromise either with our geography and the technology we have available now.
I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. Suzanne Young is Administration Secretary. Adam Gresham is Vermont's Commissioner of Finance and Management. They are with us today going over some of the details, dollars, and initiatives proposed in Governor Phil Scott's budget address to the legislature yesterday. Oz says it's a lofty ambition to believe we can create a worker for each available job. Businesses need to find people to hire. This is not the state's job. Vermont does not have the infrastructure to attract businesses. Perhaps an easier solution is to create an environment to attract young people who want to farm land, give tax breaks and assistance to encourage a new generation of farmers. And let's hear from Leonard, who's calling in from Hinesburg. Hi, Leonard. Go right ahead.
Hi there. I arrived here 50 years ago, or 45 years ago, with the campaign of Vermont, the beckoning country. And I always thought that was a great slogan. That wasn't the sole reason for moving to Vermont, but it's always stuck in my mind as a great campaign. And it was dropped somewhere along the line when people worried too much about extra growth. But I think we should return to it. Thank you.
Leonard, thanks for the call. So Leonard caught the appeal of a marketing campaign 50 years ago and came to Vermont. So there's one in the column for marketing working for people coming in here. Samantha is on the line with us from Waitsfield. Hi, Samantha. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I own a co-working space called Valley Works in Waitsfield, Vermont. And I wanted to make a comment about the opportunity in creating remote work opportunities for current residents and for new Vermonters. Nationally, about like just under 3% of the workforce works remotely or from home. And in the state of Vermont, we're usually close to 8%. And in my local community, some surveys have us at around 13%. So we're already sort of beating the curve there. And as far as, you know, investment in telecommunications and the geographic barriers that we have, at the co-working space, we're able to get extremely fast, reliable fiber internet through our locally owned telecommunications provider. And it's a great solution for people who choose to live in a more remote part of the community but still need reliable Monday through Friday remote opportunity, you know, like remote workers who work a Monday through Friday schedule who need reliable internet.
Yeah, Samantha, I hear what you're saying there. So co-working spaces, remote work opportunities fitting into the picture here. There's a lot to talk about when it comes to recruitment and job force recruitment, and I have a sense that this is going to be something that we continue to talk about. But I want to move on to another part of the budget address and another proposal from the governor yesterday that remains to be seen, obviously, what the legislature is going to do with this. But this would be an initiative to phase out the state income tax on low-income residents' Social Security. Let's listen to a little bit of what the governor said.
There's a reason approximately 26,000 native-born Vermonters live in Florida. And it's not just the weather, because 27,000 native-born Vermonters now live in New Hampshire. Many folks on fixed incomes want to stay here in Vermont and can't afford that second home elsewhere. They deserve, as much as anyone, to live with the dignity and retirement they earn through a lifetime of work. Only 5 states fully tax Social Security benefits. Today, I ask you to join me in bringing that number to 4 by phasing in the elimination of this tax on seniors living on low and moderate incomes.
Again, today we're talking with Secretary Suzanne Young of the Administration and Commissioner Adam Gresham of Finance and Management. Commissioner Gresham, can you talk a little bit about the details of that plan to phase out this tax on Social Security for low-income seniors in Vermont?
I can. Before I do, I just wanted to go back to the last caller, Samantha. I know her, and I am very familiar with the good work she's done in Waitsfield and the co-working space, and I just wanted to acknowledge that. I think they've done good work. Speaking about the kind of the structure of the phase out of Social Security tax, the plan is to look at single filers with incomes up to $55,000, household incomes up to $55,000, and joint filers with household income up to $70,000. And on the portion of their household income that is Social Security income, to phase out the tax, the state tax, over 3 years. And we did it over 3 years because we wanted to build up the capacity to replace that income. We didn't want to do it all in one fell swoop. So the plan is to phase it out over 3 years.
And who would qualify?
So recipients of Social Security income would qualify if their household income, again, for a single filer is below $55,000, and for joint filers, up to $70,000.
So Governor Scott said, you know, we really need to make this a priority, and we're one of the few states that fully taxes this income, even for low-income senior citizens. And the idea here being, is this part of a retainment strategy? I mean, he talked about this idea that people are moving away, or is it just this, the people living in Vermont, you know, especially on fixed incomes, really need this break, regardless of whether they're going to move away or not, that this is something that's a priority for people who are already living here and planning to stay living here?
Jane, this is Suzanne. So I think this is part of a much larger strategy, and the governor's affordability strategy and his economic growth strategy sometimes intersect, and we have proposals that meet dual goals. And I would also go back to the fact that the governor proposed to eliminate the tax on military pensions and also to increase our investment in National Guard scholarships. So I think as you look at all of these things together, these are an effort, number one, to keep folks, for instance, who might go to our state colleges and join our National Guard, to stay in Vermont. And these folks retire usually after 20 years at, you know, working age, 38, 42 years old, and to keep them here and not tax their military pensions. And the same goes, you know, for the folks who are on Social Security. One, we want Vermont, our Vermont seniors who are on Social Security income to be able to stay in Vermont and not feel they have to move to a state with less tax burdens. And the point of the governor's speech was, you know, they're not all going to Florida for the weather. You know, some of them are moving just across the Connecticut River into New Hampshire. So, and also there are some things in the governor's proposals that are going to try to attract workers who may have retired back into the workforce and, you know, help us meet those needs there. People who want to work, you know, we welcome them back, and there are going to be some retraining programs and other programs to work with that population.
When you talk about those reductions in revenue, you know, $2.7 million for military pension exemptions, $1.9 million by not taxing the Social Security for these low-income seniors. And in a budget booklet given to members of the press, the administration attributes about $16 million in reductions next year to policy actions at the Agency of Human Services. So this is one of the ways to cut some things so that you can get this budget in line. And Walter from Waterbury Center emailed in to ask about that, saying, what specific human service programs will the governor's budget cut to achieve the intended savings in the budget? Why are the human service programs getting cut and not the programs we have out there that specifically benefit businesses?
Well, I would say at first, when we look at, for example, the initiative regarding Social Security income tax or military pension income, and you look at them as a near-term reduction in revenue, and we tend to look at them as a longer-term boost in revenue as those people stay and as they some of them join the workforce and the like. So I think it's important to point that out. But, you know, to get to Walter's question, it's the steady state for government, as I said earlier, is about a 4 to 5% growth. And so every year we look at our the growth, and we look at programs that we are currently doing that maybe we want to realign. We look at areas that we want to boost. For example, the Secretary has gone over a number of new initiatives that we have. And inevitably, it requires realigning existing resources and pointing them towards where we want to go. So I think that's what Walter was referring to. We did not go through a line item by line item list of reductions, not only in human services but elsewhere, because we thought in the context some of these reductions and some of these initiatives were very complicated and very complex, and we didn't want to get out ahead of the Secretary of Human Services, for example, in the example you gave, and we wanted to give the legislature a chance to dig into them and to understand them. So we did, however, list how we were, you know, in broad sense, how we were going to get to a balanced budget. So I think that's why you saw that that number.
But when you have a number like that, I mean, that's a hard number. So you're assuming that that amount can be found. You may not be delineating exactly where it's going to be found from, but the target is set there.
That's correct.
Let's go to Al, who's calling in from Fairfield. Hi, Al.
Yes, hello.
Hi, go right ahead.
Yes, indeed. Jane, have you noticed how evasive your guests are about detailing the cuts that inevitably will be proposed by this governor? It's all smoke and mirrors. I'm really distressed by it. Essentially, I feel that Governor Scott is a trickle-down governor. He's a throwback to Reaganite economics. At a time when the disparity in wealth, including in Vermont, is outrageously high, for him not to have the wealthiest in Vermont pay their fair share. You may recall that under Governor Shumlin, 50 of the richest Vermonters, including Ben and Jerry's, wrote him a letter saying, tax us more because of the windfall from the renewal of the Bush tax cuts. So the governor talking about revenue neutral and not being specific about cuts in social services is a gross deception. I'm so upset by that. I mean, he's a friendly man, but apparently he's following a very destructive economic policy.
Well, Al, let me put your critiques to Secretary Young. What do you think about Al's concern, worry, frustration, and anger?
Well, I appreciate his feedback, and I would respond that we have prepared what we believe to be a very responsible budget, one that is responsible to the needs of all Vermonters and affordability and growing the economy so we can provide all of the services that we have been providing to individuals over the years. I would note that the Agency of Human Services budget is a very complex $2.6 billion budget. It has many, many facets. It's very complex. The governor has realigned some of the goals within the Agency of Human Services to deal with our mental health crisis, a shared concern with the legislature, and to put more resources into preventative medicine so that we are, saving money, achieving some savings at the other end of the service spectrum, and also working hard to make the ACO model, all-payer model, the new payment model work. And so I welcome the criticism, and that's what budgets are about. They're about starting a debate about how we spend our limited resources and how we raise revenues to support the services that we do provide.
Well, and I'll point out this is one among many conversations that we'll be having as the legislature now gets down to its work and tries to hammer out some of the spending mechanisms and how it's all going to work out. So one conversation among many, and I want to thank both of you for being on the program today. Didn't get to all of the proposals, but at least a few of them. Yeah. Suzanne Young is Administration Secretary, and Adam Gresham is Vermont's Commissioner of Finance and Management. Commissioner Gresham and Secretary Young, thank you both very much.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for inviting me.